You are listening to a message from All People's Church in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
It's about the cross, Christ.
I've never found another one that took my place.
Don't manage with fear. Realize it's a threat.
At All People's Church, we're all about loving God, strengthening families, and developing leaders. If you would like to hear more sermons or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email to info@allpeopleschurch.ca.
Amen. Just stay standing for a moment. I want you to turn to somebody beside you, look them square in the face and say, God's great. Amen. And then turn to the person on the other side and say, I'm not kidding either. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't want to take a lot of our time today with kind of some extra words because I feel there's something on my heart that I've been asked to speak in this house that I believe is very relevant to the day that we're living in. The greatest cry I have in my heart, Lord, don't let me just come to a place to fill a slot of time. And probably what I'm also praying is, Lord, we don't need another sermon. We need a thus saith the Lord to penetrate our hearts. So I have not come today because I have nowhere to preach. I've not come, as I said, to fill a slot of time. I've come that there might be a word that will challenge something within you, that will stir something great and mighty, that you will fulfill the purpose and the plan of God. I'm thankful for your pastor. He's become a great friend. He has a heart for you people. The way I hear him talk, you've got a man that truly loves you. He might rattle your cages sometimes, but you need someone to do that. Right? And yeah, amen. Give him praise. Yeah. Amen. Him and I talk pretty straight about things because we need to recognize that not everything that glitters is gold. And that we need to be alert, especially in the day that we live in. If there ever was a day, listen to me, church, if there ever was a day that we need discernment, it's today. Yeah. We need discernment. Our biggest threat is not other religions. Though we try to say that's what it is, it's not. The biggest threat, as Paul the Apostle talked about, there will come amongst us another Christ, another gospel, another spirit. In other words, there will be something to infiltrate the church that so looks like the real that we'll be duped by it and pulled away. You need to have discernment to know what is real and what is right. Not everything that has the name Jesus on it is from heaven. Not every voice that you hear is from heaven. You better know what the voice is from heaven. There's a lot of voices that sound like heaven, but there's only one voice from heaven. Yeah. And that's the one we need to lead within our lives. And so I've come this morning just to share a word with you that I hope will help you in 2018. I want to congratulate this congregation as well as you've walked into your 50th year. That's a very significant moment. Because many times, I shared in the first service today, those of you with us, that some of the churches that had the greatest impact upon me as a young man when I started ministry don't even exist today. I've been in ministry now for almost 50 years. And those churches, after 10 or 20 years, I'm talking churches of thousands, are completely gone. And the fact that you're still here is a blessing, and it's a testimony and a witness. Amen? And so you hold on it and believe. Listen to me very carefully. I do a series on Jubilee. That's what the Bible calls about the 50th year. It's a year of Jubilee, and I do a series of messages on it that God put within my heart because we need to recognize that it was in the Old Testament. The principles of it are to be called into the New. And here's what you need to understand. In the Old Testament, it was a year. The 50th year, we became significant. But when we moved to the New Testament, it became a person. Because in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's an anointed me. You go to the latter part, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He was referring back to the Jubilee that many people had to wait to the 50 year to release, but now the person has become the Jubilee that you can be released anytime you want to when you accept Christ and let his power come into your life. And so we need to understand that the Jubilee is in the house today.
Yes, sir.
Amen? And the one that does a difference in our lives to make a difference is with us. So I hope that you open your heart and you let God begin to speak. And please, don't let yourself hinder what God wants to do today. I have not come to speak to your minds. I've come to speak to your hearts. The tragedy many times in church, we get a lot of information into our heads, but it never gets down to our hearts. God is not interested in just giving you information. He's interested in bringing transformation as you let it into your heart to change it. Your head necessarily does not change you, but your heart will. A man when I was young made this statement, I never forgot it. He said, if you'll put the word of God in your head when you don't need it, God will put it in your heart when you do. That's powerful. That if it's in there, it'll go down to your heart, because that's where all the issues of life are considered. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. That we need to keep our hearts true. Amen. And so we need to recognize the one who is the Jubilee is with us. And so therefore we have a shout and a praise and glory to God, that we don't have to wait till the 50th year to find release, but we can have it today because we say the great one is in the midst of us. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing with me in missions. I appreciate it so much. This church has been a blessing to me. I could never do it without partners. I was sitting here just now thinking, boy, I'm preaching here today. Next Sunday, I'm preaching in Blantyre, Malawi, in Africa. And I'm just getting ready for them because I'm doing a conference over, and then they want me to do it on the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I've been kind of talking about here, because I tell you, when the Spirit rises, it makes a difference in our lives. Amen? And so I just hope that you'll open your heart today and let God put a deposit within you to make a difference in 2018. Don't you dare say it's going to be like 2017. You have the choice. Speak to the year.
Come on.
Prophesy to the year.
Come on.
The Bible says, how does it say that? It says, desire spiritual gifts, but covet to prophesy. You need to know you can prophesy to yourself. If I wouldn't have learned years ago to prophesy to myself, I probably would not be here today. Prophetic is not just to give a word to somebody else. Sometimes you have to prophesy to yourself. And there's times I said, oh, Ted, you rise up, O man of God, for the Lord is upon you, and you shall not be bent down, and neither shall you be defeated. For the Lord has did something great in your heart. Rise up and declare the goodness of the Lord. And something rises within me. Declare that God's on the throne. You need to know how to prophesy to yourself. Amen. Well, you got that one for nothing. Let's turn and take the Bible this morning. And I want you to turn to a couple of scriptures that I want to read today. Psalm 92, verse 10. Would you turn there, please? And then put a finger in 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Psalm 92, verse 10. The word is anointed. And that's why I like to take the word of God. And I'm just going to share some things from it. But the thing is not what I say. It's what the word of God say that has impact. So I want you to take the scripture and look at it with me, please. I want to encourage you in our modern day of technology. I know you can have your Bible on the phone, but it's a lot better to bring the Bible and be able to scribble in it when God puts something in your heart. It's significant. One of the things when my mother died, I wanted her Bible. In fact, she has several of them. I wanted them not because I didn't have enough Bibles. I wanted them because my mom filled the margin in her Bible with things that God spoke to her. And so I cherish that. I won't let anybody have it. I'm getting ready now when I come to the end. I've had several Bibles during the ministry that I'm going to give every one of my grandkids, one of my Bibles.
That's good.
That they remind it the greatest thing in Grampy's life was the power and the anointing of God to make a difference, to be a reminder to them. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Would you look at it with me quickly? Psalm 92. We're looking at verse, I'm not even there myself. Psalm 92, verse 10. We've probably heard this verse, but it's significant. Here's what the psalmist says. But my horn you've exalted like a wild ox. In other words, he said, my strength. My strength is like a wild ox. It's not be harnessed by the world. It's free. It's not rebellious. It's free. The world is trying to put us in a package and say, if you'll stay in the circle, we'll accept you. The Bible says in John chapter 17, the world hates us because we're not like them. You need to recognize that we're not to walk in the circle that they put us in. We're not to color inside the lines. We need to color outside the lines. We got to get out of the box. We need to walk off our maps and believe that God wants to do something great within our lives. And so the psalmist is saying here, that by my horn, my strength, you've exalted like a wild ox. Why? For I have been anointed with fresh oil. I want to declare today, as the Bible says in Ephesians, it's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. We read it, be filled once and that's it. No, it's not. Continually be filled. We need to recognize that we need fresh oil within our lives. I want to go to another verse. I want you to go to a verse that very seldom you ever hear preached about. I came across this. I'll talk about it in a minute. But go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Here we're talking about the great men of position that David had. They were prominent. They had prominent positions, and they're recognized in the Bible. We'll get that in a moment. But here's what it says, the latter part of verse 28. You should underline it in your Bible because I believe it's significant. It'll take on more significance as we talk about it. Here's a man whose name was Joash, and here's what it says. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 words. Joash was over the store of the oil. In other words, a better translation is, and Joash was the guardian or the protector of the oil. Father, I'm asking this morning that you'd walk into this room, that everything of the past week, Lord, that would like to grab our minds, and everything of tomorrow and this coming week that would call upon us, Lord, to give attention to. I pray, Lord, that we would erase those from our mind and let this be a moment that we would have an encounter with you, that you'd walk in this room and that God walk down these aisles and through these seats. And may we have an openness in our hearts to hear the word today, that 2018 might be a year that we might break out and recognize that, Lord, we're not living here just basically to survive, but you gave us enough to make a difference. And I pray that this house and every individual in this room will make a difference, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I started this morning, which I believe is very relevant. It can almost be a series about last words. It's significant when you go into the Word of God and find out when somebody's life who is very significant to the call of God was coming to the end, what were the words they said when they were about to leave this life and go into eternity? Because many times last words are the words of priority. They're the words of significance, words that are important, words that we need to hear. And I believe that we need to recognize. My mom, when she was about to die, she said these words. She said, "Son, remember this. God can make a difference with one." Because many times we feel that we can't do it by ourselves, but one can make a difference when we put our trust in God. I remember as a boy, when I was growing up and I became a teenager, my mom would always meet me at the door when I was going out on the weekend. Probably when I was a teenager, I was starting to date the young lady that became my wife. And I'd be going out Friday night with Gloria. And my mom would stand at the door and say, "Now, son, I want you to have a good time. Say hi to Gloria and have a wonderful night with Gloria." But she said, "I want to tell you something else. Remember one thing, God watches everything." That's the last thing a teenager wants to hear. God sees everything. Yet when I look now back, I'm thankful that my mom had enough guts to say the thing that I needed to hear that protected my life, that I might be here today. Because very likely, if I wouldn't allow those things to get in my heart, I can fall and be stumbled like everybody else. But my mom would every time I stand there say, "Now remember, Ted, God sees everything." Those words still are with me today. And you know what I'm saying to my grandchildren now when I'm out with them? "Remember, Lincoln, God sees everything." I say to my little granddaughter, "Liberty, you're an attractive young lady, but remember, God sees everything." And I tell you, I'm putting that same thing in them because I want them to grow up in their lives to count for the kingdom of God. Last words mean are significant. We find in the Word of God very quickly in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Moses is speaking here, and he said as he was come to the end, "People, set your hearts on all of the words of the law, because it is life to you. It is life to you." We recognize that Joshua, as he was coming to the end, said this to the crowd that gathered that day. He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." He said, "There's going to be a competition between the idols of other gods and the true living God, but you choose this day whom you will serve." In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul was speaking for the last time to the church at Ephesus, and with a brokenness and a softness of heart, he said these words, "Take heed to yourselves and to the flock, the church." In other words, he was saying, don't be deceived. Don't let something come in that will devour and destroy what God's done in your life. In 1 John, we find that John gives a great exposition of three things about Christ, that Christ is the light, he is the love, and he is the life. And he comes to the very end of this great exhortation, and it seems like everything changes. Here's was his last words, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." He knew that though he gave a great exhortation of Jesus was, that through the events of life, the disappointments, the setbacks, and the hurts, there'd be a tendency that we remove from those words that he spoke, and that we would be followers of idols. In our land today, we don't have idols primarily that carved out of stone, out of wood. We have other idols, idols of sports, idols of money. Our country is full of idols. Our idols are dressed in designer clothes and look like everything's okay. But every nation has idols, and we got to be careful that things that might be good do not become idols within our lives. And so we need to understand, and even in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses, another thing he said before he was coming to the end, he said this: don't forget God. Don't forget God. It goes on to say that when they went into the land and houses that they did not build, vineyards they did not plant, fields that they did not cultivate, they forgot God. They allowed everything to take over in their life, and they forgot God, which put them into captivity. And I tell you, my friend, we need to understand that we need to be a people that stand and look at important words. There's a word that I just want to bounce off today. I've probably spoken in sometime in this church, and I just want to use it today because I believe it's so important. It's taken from the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 3. There's only one chapter in the book, and here's what it says. Jude had come to a time, he was a great pastor. He said, I was diligent to write unto you concerning our common salvation. Common salvation is we preach Christ as the Savior, Christ as the healer, Christ as the deliverer, and Christ as the soon coming King. He said, I was diligent to preach unto you the very things that are important in the Word of God, but I found it necessary to make an adjustment in what I preach because the times had changed, and therefore he said this now. He said, I was diligent with the common things, but now I've come to you that you might be diligent, that you will not allow the things of God to be removed from you. In other words, that we need to contend for the faith. Friend, listen to me. In our world, in our nation, we are fighting for that which is important. We have to contend for the faith. There are voices that want to take our faith from us. There are spirits in the world that want to annihilate and smother and silence the power of God and Christianity. We need to recognize that we need to stand up. I shared with the pastor the last night, erosion is something that's subtle, slow, and silent. And what is happening in the church, the enemy's brought a spirit of erosion that it's so slow and silent and subtle that we do not even see what's taken away. And then when it's all gone, we're going to look at one another and say, how did this happen? It happened because the spirit of erosion creeps into the church, and we think, well, it really doesn't matter until something is gone. Someone's got to rise up and believe that we can make a difference because it's important. And so the man said, I want you to rise up, church, and contend for the faith because it's important. It's important. Embedded in the Word of God is a nugget that I stumbled upon that is kind of the foundation of what I'm sharing with you. We've already read it. It's taken from the verse that I read to you in 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 28, that a man of honor was put in charge of the guardian of the oil. Of the oil. He is named here. We'll talk about that in a moment. There was something significant with all the different parts of the kingdom that David had. Somebody was in charge of the army. Somebody was in charge of the vineyards and all the things important of the economics and whatever. But one man was put in charge to guard the oil. You see, the reason that's important, for that's in the natural, but it speaks to something spiritual, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is known as oil. There are different things in the Bible that talk about the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding what the Holy Spirit's all about. On Friday night, I talked about the Holy Spirit's like rain. He wants to come, not like rain, but to soak us with something beyond ourselves that we can live a vibrant life. Yes. Today, we're talking about the oil. Oil is something that makes something run smooth. Those of us that lived long enough, sometimes things get rusted in them and they don't move very smoothly. And so all we have to do is give it a squirt of oil. In our lives, many times, the things and the cares of the world want to come and do something in our lives that we continue on, but it's rough living. But we need to recognize that God did not leave us that way. He said there's an oil that if you apply to your life, that will loosen things up and let you flow again and be in the fullness of what I want you to have in your life. Therefore, he said, cherish the oil of the Spirit of God. Cherish the oil. I believe it was on Friday night I made the statement that we believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The tragedy is the third part of the Trinity has been forgotten. In most churches today, we'll talk about God, we'll talk about Jesus, but very seldom do we ever talk about the Holy Spirit. I was just in, a while back, I was speaking in Las Vegas. In a church I was invited to go, and on my way to the platform, I was told not to speak in tongues. I looked at the pastor, he said, because people get fearful. I'm thinking, they're watching vampire movies. They're watching the most horror things on television and going to the theater to watch things that would freak you out. And someone says, Reka Baracho Grande, and they get afraid. What do you think that is? That's the power of hell. They're coming in to take the power and the oil out of the church that makes a difference. And if it leaves us, we will still sing our songs, but change nothing. We'll have sermons that make us feel good, but not take away the things in our lives that can make us what God wants to be. And the tragedy is we have settled for sermons and for music that is only songs that we're calling worship. Now, I'm not putting every church in that category, hear my heart. But singing songs is not worship. It's a form of worship. Worship comes from your heart. I was at a place speaking, and the person said, let's all come up to the front and get in the presence of God. What in the world does that mean? God's not in the back of the church. He's not out in the street. He's not in your home. He's not in your business. He's everywhere. You don't come to God because you come to the front. You live in the presence of God. And the oil is not just here. The oil is something in your life that when you hit a situation this coming week, you recognize, I am not backing off, for the oil of the Spirit will give movement that I can move in and have the creative power of God to make a difference. The oil. The oil. The oil of the Spirit. Even they'll tell us if we drive a car that every 5,000 kilometers you need to change the oil. Yeah. And we will do that faithfully, but freak out when God says change the oil and get an upgrade of what you've got in your life. But we look and say, well, I had it 355 years ago and that's good enough. No, it's not. You need fresh oil because you get dirty, you get full of stuff, and you need God to come again to awaken something within your spirit. The oil. It's not something that we preach about. It's something that we need to experience. It's vital and important for each and every one of us. The question comes, how do we contend for the faith? What I'm talking about this morning is we contend by guarding the oil. I'm going to get blunt here. Is that okay? I might not invite it back. That's okay too. But I preach in a lot of charismatic Pentecostal churches. And if the truth is, we're not any different anymore than the other churches. What made us different was the anointing of the Spirit of God. We had something when people walked in, or when you walked in, you recognized you're walking in the presence of God. You're walking in the Holy of Holies. And there was something there that was going to lift you. There was something that was going to stir you. You know the tragedy today with Moses? Let's get honest. We come into church and we know exactly what's going to take place before we even start. We're going to sing three fast songs, two slow songs, have a sermon, have an offering, have a benediction, go out the door. I'm waiting for the day when we have the awesomeness of God move in, the supernatural, the awe and the wonder when you can't explain it. You get in your car, you out, you look at your wife and say, what was that that took place? And all she can say, I have no idea. It must have been the oil, the Holy Spirit that walked in the house and did something different. When, listen now. I'm just getting moving now. When that begins to happen, then church becomes an exciting place to come. You will not come late and you will give everything you got, because when the wonder's in the house and the oil is there, it changes everything. The power of the oil. It was so significant in the Old Testament that a man was put in charge to guard the oil. Why did he do that? Because there's another verse I got to give you. It's taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. You need to underline this because every one of us sometime has to come where we have to deal with this. Here's what it says. Dead flies putrefy or give a stench to the perfumer's ointment or oil. And because of it, it gives off a foul smell. Listen to me, church. I wonder if we're bored with church because some fly has got into the anointing in our lives. I wonder if the world's not excited with what we've got because the proper smell and the aroma is not there because flies have got into the anointing oil. See, we never want to talk about that. We just want to talk about the oil, but something has changed the oil. The oil is not attractive. Now we got to plead and beg to get people. A friend of mine, his mother came to him one day and said to him, because her son's a preacher, she said, "Son, why do we need to have coffee at the back of the church?" And I'm not against coffee. I hope you understand that, okay? He said, "Why do we have to have coffee in the back of the church? Why do we have to have all this stuff in the church?" He said, "When your father and I got saved 50 years ago, we got so radically saved that we were faithful for 50 years and never missed because Jesus was enough. Now we got all these add-ons. We got to be on Twitter. We got to be on Facebook. I'm not against any of that. But I tell you, my friend, I don't need Facebook to get me to church Sunday morning. I don't need to remind, is my that dumb that from one Sunday to the next I forget it Sunday? I tell you, my friend, it's God's day. And I come, why? Because when the oil's in us, it makes a difference. And I want to be there to experience what God wants to give us. The oil. The oil. Let me say it again because I believe it's worth repeating. The world basically right now does not want what we have. But I wonder if it's because the oil gives off a stench. And the world says, "I don't want that. That doesn't attract me." You see, friend, I pastored a revival in the late 70s to the 80s. I pastored a revival where before church started a half hour, the church was packed. The worship team had not even come out on the platform yet. The organist was playing, and the people were on their feet worshiping just with the organist. Week after week, year after year, for many years, I walked into a service that was started a half hour before. Today, we have people coming late, 15, 20 minutes late, for the most important part that God gets anything out of us, our worship. God does not need the word because he is the word. He doesn't need the announcements. He's all-knowing. We need to recognize the only thing God gets anything out of is our worship. We lift our hands, and there's nothing in the oil, but we come. Something happens in the house. Something happens in the house. But what has changed it? Has God run out of oil? Has the well run dry? No. The problem with the oil is we have not guarded it properly in our lives and in the church. And flies get in. Flies get in. And when flies get in, the oil might be the greatest and the best. But we withdraw from it because of the flies. To get honest with you this morning, what fly has got into the oil of your life? You see, I'm sick and tired of New Year resolutions. I'm fed up with it. Because, friend, you enter the new year the same way you left the old. And because the number change doesn't change anything. We say, "Well, I'm going to go into a new year, there's going to be a fresh anointing." No, there's not, if you don't get rid of the flies. We never want to talk about the flies. But we're in a day today where many are bored in church. We're going through the formulas, but there's no life. We walk out, listen to me, because I've been there myself, and the words I'm going to say right now, I've said myself. We walk out of church, and we say in ourselves, we might say it to our wives or someone else, but we say it to ourselves also, because I've done it too. God, there's got to be more than that. There's got to be more than that. Got to be more than gathering at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, singing a few songs and hearing a sermon, taking an offering, going home. There's got to be more than that. And I'm telling you, my friend, today, there is. But there's a hindrance of flies in the oil. I had to go to the dentist last week. It was for get my teeth cleaned. I thought, man, this is a waste of money. They're scraping in there. I said, what are you doing anyway? She said, because over time, plaque builds up. If it gets down close to the gum, it has the power and potential to start eating away. You got to get rid of it. And I sat there for an hour in that place as the woman started to scrape away, if I can put it in the terms today, the flies that have the potential of destroying my teeth. That woman would never have been able to do it if I would not have submitted and went in there. And what God is looking for today, he wants to remove the flies, but many times we're hiding them. We're protecting them. We're pretending they're not there. And then all of a sudden we become religious in our walks with God. And then we walk out of church just like I said, God, there's got to be more than that. And I'm here to tell you today that there is. Amen. Several years ago, a person gave me a series of books called Lists to Live By. Lists off many things that are very good points. And here in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, 27 that I shared to you, we find there's a list. There's nuggets from a list. And I could preach on these, but I can't today because, well, I just get carried away. This list teaches us something about the importance of our lives to the Lord. Here's what the list said. Every person has a place of service for the Lord. Look at me, church. Look at me. You might think you're a nobody, but God says you're a somebody. God will never come and say you're a nobody. It's the devil trying to do that because he wants to paralyze you from being effective for God. You might never stand on a platform like me. You never might be a worship leader on a platform. You might not even be a deacon. But I'm telling you, God has something special that only you can do. And he's waiting for you to line up. Because see, because there's a lot of things I do out in public, but there's a lot of people behind the scene that make it ready that I can come. Everybody's in it together. You see, I'm able to go to the foreign field because there's several people that stand behind me financially that I could not go if they weren't there. When the award comes, are handed out in heaven, what I ever do in Africa or in India or any nation, they're going to receive the same reward because they partner with me. Their face is never seen, and nobody even knows who they are, but they partner and said, we're going to make it together. I'm telling you, friend, what you need to know on the list, you will matter to God. And I want to speak to someone today that the lies that the devil has told you are nobody, that your past is so reckless as nothing can change. I'm here to tell you that God gives a brand new start. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Some young lady, listen to me. You've been abused. You've let your life fall into things right now. God's saying you've allowed that to hinder you that you think you cannot be used. God's saying to you today, you can rise up. You were a somebody. He forgives and restores and revives and gives you a brand new start. And in the name of Jesus, take the word today and rise up and say, the past is forgotten and I'm having a new start in the Lord. I don't know who that's for, but God's trying to speak to somebody today. Some man today, you've screwed up big time. You're trying to get it right, but there's that haunting voice all the time saying, you're never going to make it. I'm here to prophesy to you that the God I serve does not leave you in the ditch, but he lets you rise up and recognize that your past can be forgiven when we come to the Lord, and he gives you a brand new start. Young man, rise up in the name of the Lord. If God brought me here for one purpose alone, is to tell somebody today that you're a somebody. Rise up. Number two. Every person was called by name. You're not just a hey, you. Hey, buddy, you have a name. And we find here that God didn't say there was a guy in the down looking after the oil. He had a name. His name was Joash. You have a name. God sees you as a name. Number three, we need to see that we serve in different places, but for the same purpose. When we work together, God uses every one of us. But there's also nuggets from life that we need to learn from lists. And we find here with this man, Joash, he was named and was given a job description. He was a guardian of the oil. Number two, he was named amongst the greatest of David's men. He wasn't a great general. He wasn't one that looked after the economy. He wasn't a man that had prominence. He was an ordinary guy. But David listed him with all the big shots because he was looking after the oil that really mattered. That's important, my friend. We need to understand that. Nobody saw what he did. Nobody ever went to the cellar. But he lived most of his life behind closed doors and nobody saw it, but he was so significant that David said he's accounted with the ones that are great and mighty, because what he protects and watches over is not only for that generation but for the generations to come. Come on. Some of you in this room might think you might have grade 6 education. You might think, well, how can God use me? But on your knees, God can listen to your prayer to pull down strongholds, to make your church come alive, to bring revival in it. And you might think, oh, I've got nothing to offer. Yes, you do, because you have a name, and it might be done behind closed doors. But God's got something he wants to work through you. What do we see in this man that gave him significance? Number one, he was willing to do it unto the Lord in the cellar. In the cellar. Nobody saw him. Had a man walked into my office one day as a pastor, and he said, Pastor, I want to play my trumpet. He was a phenomenal trumpet player. He said, I want to play my trumpet in the church. And I said, great. I said, Tuesday morning, you come into the church, and all morning, you can just play your trumpet. He said, no, you didn't hear what I said. I said, yeah, I heard what you said. You said you wanted to play in church. I said, I'm giving you the whole sanctuary. Our sanctuary seats 1,300. I said, you can go in there, and I want you to blow your trumpet and give glory and praise unto God. You can use those. He said, Pastor, you didn't hear it. I said, oh, what are you trying to tell me? He said, I want to play on Sunday. I said, you didn't say play on Sunday. You said you wanted to play in the church. In other words, I came to the conclusion that he did not want to play unto the Lord. He wanted to strut his stuff to everybody else. Needless to say, the guy never came back. Because he was not interested in being a part of us. He wanted to strut how good I am. I don't care how good you are. I'd rather have somebody that's anointed by God that's going to do something to make a difference. You see, so we need to recognize it wasn't he wanted to do something behind the scene. He wanted to be up front, but everyone is important. We need to understand how significant it is that we open our lives and let God work. And number two, it was not comfortable. It was not an easy place to be in the cellar. It was cold. It was mildew. There's all kinds of things. It was dark. He lived his whole life being faithful to guard the oil in the cellar. Amazing. 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 It was uncomfortable. That's why Jesus said, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, Jesus was saying, even if it's uncomfortable, you do it because it makes a difference. I've had people say to me, Pastor Ted, why do you travel all over the world? It must be hard in planes. I got to get on a plane this week. They said, Africa, it's a direct flight. It's almost 15 hours. Is that fun? No, it's not. Do you know the reason I do it? Because it's a lot easier to get on a plane and go over there and carry my suitcase all the way there. But I got on planes and do those trips because there's a call in my life that I can encourage some pastor somewhere. Or lift a congregation that God has not left us and forsaken us, that he can still do something great. That's why I do it. It's not because of me. It's tough. It's hard. It's hard. But we do it because of God working in our lives. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Number three, it's unappreciated. When you do something behind the scene, you hardly get any words of accolades or whatever, because nobody sees what you're doing. But this man was faithful because he knew the significance it was to every other part of the ministry. His focus was the oil and coming to a close. It is believed he worked close with the priests of his day because the oil was used in many ways in the temple. Oil was used for the lighting of the lamps. Oil was used for the making of the anointing oil. It was important. It was prepared according to a recipe that was given by God that was passed down to Moses. It was considered, a holy anointing. It came from God. A holy anointing. It was prepared properly. In a different way than today, the oil was valuable. It was used for religious needs. It was used, as I said, for the lamps, used for merchandise, and it was used for medicine. But it was also recognized now as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. God used a man. As God is trying to say today, I'm looking for people in churches and churches that will become guardians of the oil. For when the oil is in the house, everything runs smooth. Everything runs smooth. That's why Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, as Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, he said, be not drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. The word continually there means continually have fresh oil flowing through your life because it's the oil, it's the fragrance that attracts and makes a difference in other people's lives. We're to preserve the oil. The duty given to Joash was to preserve the oil because it was so needed in his day and to every generation. I believe this is the word in season as I speak right now. Above all that you do, guard the oil. For it's the treasure that brings the distinctive quality that makes the difference in our midst and in our lives. My cry today as I put the trumpet to my lips was to blow a clear sound, to plead with you as a congregation in the midst of a stressful time in our nation, to please guard the oil. Don't let the oil become corrupted by being stale and rancid and putrid by the flies of the things that we allow into it. Don't let the world steal it by saying it's not relevant, it's not important anymore. We can't let it become corrupted by complacency, abused by compromise, wasted by worldliness, neutralized by popularity, paralyzed by apathy, or stolen by the enemies of the cross. Oh God, may people in this church rise up in 2018 to be protectors of the oil of the Holy Spirit. The oil preserves. Thus, we have to be guardians of the oil. Let me close with two things and I'm done. Several years ago, my wife and I were attending a conference in Florida. We took our young son with us. It was over. We went down the Keys. We stopped at a beautiful restaurant to have something to eat. The waiter came over and started listing off all these exotic fish dishes, things I never heard of before, and just rhyming them off. I didn't know what to order, and finally my little son, probably about 8 years old at the time, sitting in his chair, looked up at the man. He said, "Sir, do you just have fish and chips?" Listen to me, church. Let me sum it all up right now. Most Christians are not coming to church to see a presentation. They're coming because we live in an ugly world and we want another touch from God that we can survive another week. They're not coming to see how flashy we can be with everything. They're coming because they just want fish and chips. Is there a God that can walk into my situation? Is there a God that can bring back that wayward son? Is there a God that can heal this marriage? Is there a God that can take this wreckage of a life? I've tried alcohol, I've tried drugs, I've tried everything, I've tried sex, I've tried it all. Trying to wipe away what I feel. Is there a God? Don't tell me about the programs of your church. Is there a God? I've tried the exotic things. But is there a God that just has fish and chips that can walk into my life and turn my situation around? I wonder if the world is not attracted to us because we're trying to do everything the world's doing and we hardly have a crowd coming anymore. I wonder if it's because the oil has got a stench to it, because we've let some flies into it. It's not the oil's problem. It's that we have not guarded this precious thing that God's put in our spirits. Because when the oil is flowing mightily in the house, I tell you, they'll come. They'll come. And there'll be a difference. Can I get honest with you again? You see, I care about 2018 for our nation. I care for our churches. I'd love to preach sermons that you'd like me and I could walk out of here and boy, he was great and whatever. But I'm asking God to let me die to that. We all like to have someone appreciate us, and I understand that. But my call right now is I did not come this weekend just to preach messages that make you feel coochie-coo. I've come that you'll have a year that'll be transformed and changed. That you'll look inside, not in a guilty way, but look inside and see, is there a fly that needs to be taken out? Because the problem's not the oil. It's the fly that we allow to get into the oil. And nobody wants to talk about the flies. We got to get them out. A friend of mine was just closing his service last year. It was a Wednesday night. He had the people stand to sing the closing hymn. This was the song they sang. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all. He was standing behind the platform pulpit, and he was watching as people with their hands were raised singing the last song. And he heard their Holy Spirit say to him, "Would you like me to show you what I see?" He was stunned. He said, okay. And the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to what the Spirit of God was seeing. And here's what he saw. They were singing, I surrender all. But here's what really is going. I surrender all, but not Saturday night. I surrender all, but not sleeping with my girlfriend. I surrender all, but not my money. I surrender all, but not my idols. I surrender all, but not what I want to do. And then he said this here. He said, at this moment right now, they actually believe they're surrendered to Jesus in this moment. But there's other moments where the flies have got into the anointing. Let's remove their impact to make a difference. You, sir, ma'am, were not put in this world to accept Jesus Christ and go to heaven. That's a bonus. You were touched by Jesus to make a difference in this world. That's why we're here. So, Father, today, on this third Sunday, God, I've tried to give it my best shot today. Because there's a cry deep down in my spirit. Don't leave us the way we are. Don't let us just become church attenders. Don't let us just be stirred outwardly when we clap our hands. Change our hearts, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so, Father, I pray today as we come to the close that this will be our moment, that you'll walk into this room and touch every one of our hearts in Jesus' name. I want everybody standing with me. That I'd be doing a great disservice just to pronounce the benediction and go. But I'm not going to plead or beg. But if you want your life to be changed, you want your church to make a difference, I'm asking you just to give me a minute that you'll get out of your seat. You see, this part of the church is called the front of the church. We use it as an altar, but the altar is a place of exchange. But here's what I'm asking. So many times we come to the altar to get something, and that's wonderful. But today I'm asking you to come to release something. That you will come be honest with yourself. Nobody has to know. It's between you and God. God, there's a fire in my life. You see, I go to many churches, big and small. I've never seen a day where there's such division and attitudes and bitterness and unforgiveness. Not even talking about what we call probably the greater sins, which are not greater to God. And we wonder why things don't change. And God's saying today, would you be willing to let every demon of hell know today? You keep putting flies in the anointing. But I'm coming today believing that God, by my honesty, that you're going to walk in and I'm giving you room to cut those things out of my life. That this year, that my life might have an influence and my church might be different. That you might be glorified and honored. You see, friends, sometimes we got to search our own hearts. That's why the Bible says, search me, O God. Search me. So I'm asking you today, I don't want us to sing right now. We'll sing when you start coming, but I want you to get out of your seat without being serenaded and come and say, Pastor Ted, I want you to pray with me today that the flies, I know they're there, that God, you'll remove them in my spirit, my life. In Jesus' name. It's a moment, church. Don't let this moment pass. Don't let it pass. Sometimes people hold things for 40, 50 years. And yet, it hinders the flow of the Spirit. Just move in. Thank you for coming. I believe there's more. Friend, don't let it pass. This is serious. I want your pastor in this church to move to higher heights. But we need to deal with the flies. Someone's got to guard the oil. In Jesus' name. Friend, while you're here, I'm going to pray and I'm turning over to Pastor. But I want you then to pray your prayer. Lord, you know the fly. God has taken away my joy. It's taken away life. But I'm coming today, Lord, recognizing and saying, Lord, you walk in and let my life be purified for your glory. So, Father, I pray today that on this third Sunday of this first month,
of a brand new year. Lord, sometimes pride does not want us to admit there's a fly that got in the oil. But God, we're here today. Dryness and barrenness. Lord, I'm not going to name all things. We know what it is. But I'm asking today at this altar that there be an encounter with you. That there be a welcome that would come from our spirits. Come, Holy Spirit. And give me the courage and the strength to face the fly and say, I refuse to allow it to devour my life. And Lord, I'm asking you to pluck it out. As you to pluck it out, let there be one accord amongst, oh God, so many of our churches, there's not even a spirit of one accord. And yet you said, Lord, when they're one accord, heaven was opened up. And so, Lord, this day, do a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, and I want you just to raise your hands and you pray your prayer. Lord, take that fly. Just don't say it quietly. Just, Lord, take it. You don't have to name it out, but just say, Lord, I want you to take it out. Because, friend, we need to know when we speak with our lips, something begins to change in our hearts, recognizing God doing something. So, Lord, do it today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this message. If you'd like to hear more messages or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email at info@allpeopleschurch.ca.